Good morning. Welcome to St. Stephen Lutheran Church. We will have a lay service this morning. Pastor Luke has tacked on a little vacation time after his being a delegate at our convention, delegate convention that ended a week ago today. He expects to return next Sunday. We'll open our service this morning with prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we have gathered here today to hear your word and to worship and praise your holy name. Grant that we may be strengthened in our faith and love by your holy word. Give us the comfort of knowing that with Jesus as our good shepherd, we have nothing to fear, but know that he works everything in our lives according to your plan and for our good. Hear us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 647, Lord Jesus Christ, the Church's Head, as found on page 2 of the service bulletin. would have everyone remain seated for this portion of the service this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Be with you. We pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world, and at life's end, grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke of his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him, and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, the first part, 24a, and verses 35 through 43. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and alive." And he went with him. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside, and took the child's father and mother, and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the little girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Here ends our gospel reading.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with hymn number 651, I Love Your Kingdom, Lord.
Please rise. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit the blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who in his great goodness has united us together into the Christian fellowship, dear fellow redeemed. During the course of the public ministry that I was privileged to be in over the years, Barb and I worked at a wide variety of congregations. Some were, one was large, others were small, and then there were others that were in between. But of all the many different congregations that we served, one thing really stood out. They had good cooks, and this made for some really enjoyable potluck fellowship meals. Now, we didn't go to these congregations just for the sake of the cooking. No, it was a very special privilege to be able to serve spiritual nourishment of God's word and sacraments for our mutual blessing. The thought of good cooking, that is, in a spiritual way, came to my mind when studying the scripture text before us today. Just as it's important to have a good recipe, excuse me, I'll put the amplification on for my voice sake. Just as it's important to have a good recipe and good ingredients in order for us to have a tasty dish to eat, so also in the spiritual aspect, you have to have a good divine recipe and good ingredients in order to have good relations with fellow believers, and also in carrying out our mission in life as Christians. In the verses leading up to our text, we find the apostle talking about different kinds of relations and what God's word says to us with regard to those relations, our relations with the government, with our employer, our spouse. And then finally, we find it in the scripture text before us today, our relationship with fellow believers. For the promotion of this special kind of relationship, the Lord sets before us His divine recipe, containing various important and essential ingredients, which when added in this mix of people can produce abundant blessings. There's also the added blessing in helping us carry out our mission as a church to reach out to those in the community with the saving gospel of Christ. Earlier, I mentioned a very obvious fact, namely that in making a delicious and nourishing meal, you have to have a good recipe and good ingredients. So also in the spiritual realm of things. But if you don't have a good recipe and good ingredients, well, the food's not going to taste very good, is it? So also in the spelling out of His divine recipe for a good relationship with fellow believers, the Lord warns us against evil, hurtful, and destructive ingredients we have a tendency of adding to the mix, which can be very destructive. And that's because of our inborn sinful nature. These are the elements which, when discovered in our lives, they need to be rooted out through repentance and faith in Christ. There's certainly all manner of ways we can be guilty of doing harm to one another. Our text mentions some of these harmful ingredients, which as believers we want to remove from our lives and then replace them with good ingredients. In verses 9 to 11, we read there, "Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Whenever a fellow Christian is saying, guilty of saying or doing harmful or bad things to us, we're not to try to get even or payback. This is not the way of Christian. This is the way of the unbelieving world, but not the Christian way. Yes, revenge is very natural, coming from our fleshly, sinful nature. But the Spirit of God working in our hearts would compel us to repay evil with good. That is, loving words and actions which serve for the benefit of our fellow sinful believers. What does Jesus tell us to do when we've been wronged by fellow Christians? One of the first things our Savior calls upon us to do is to show unconditional love by being forgiving, even as God has forgiven us of the countless sins that we've been guilty of. This means not holding a grudge against them. Also, out of loving concern for the spiritual welfare of a fellow Christian who's wronged us, Jesus instructs us to go to them and humbly lead them to a knowledge of their sin and to repentance. While repaying evil with evil can make for a bad relationship with others, it is our repaying evil with good and loving kindness which will help breach the gap and restore peace in our relationship with others. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The Apostle Peter also warns us against still other sinful ways of hurting our fellow believers and to do great harm to our relationship with them. It is in our using of our tongue, speaking evil and deceit. He talks about this in the Eighth Commandment, doesn't he? "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." This involves bad-mouthing our brother or sister in the Lord before others, speaking evil of them, whether it be running them down in the eyes of others or by revealing hidden faults or spreading around groundless rumors. All of them that can harm other people. This is speaking evil, it hurts. As you well know, gossip is society's favorite pastime. People just love to speak about others, and it's not always so good. A lot of times it's about the bad points of someone else. This hurts them, runs them down. However, being compelled by the redeeming love of our Savior God, as Christians we say things that can benefit others, not harm them. And therefore, when our flesh trips us up, where we're going to say something that hurts other people, we humbly repent of it, we seek God's forgiveness, and we look to Him for help to speak things of others that will help them, not hurt them. Turning to the beginning of our scripture text, the Apostle Peter gives us a short list of some of the good ingredients in God's recipe that he gives us to build up a good, lasting relationship with fellow Christians. The Apostle starts it off with what we recognize as a key ingredient, and that is being of one mind. This unity of mind most certainly is not being worldly minded or fleshly minded. It is being spiritually minded. Where we're united with others in Christian faith, this is what unites us. Same faith, same purpose, same goals. Our shared Christian faith is what unites us together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. For our elder brother, Jesus Christ, he paid the costly price for our adoption into God's family when he laid down his life on the cross for our forgiveness and salvation. And a wonderful product of Jesus' redeeming work is Christian love. When we see how much our Savior loved us and laid down his life for us as a sacrifice so it could be a part of the family of God, that instills love in our hearts for others, for one another. Christian love is the spiritual glue that bonds us together with one another and keeps us together as a family of God. In spite of the fact that we're sinful and imperfect human beings, we're going to fall, fail, hurt one another, but we have a gracious God who is forgiving and would like to replace our sinful ways with loving ways. Christian love, which God blesses us with in knowing his great redeeming love for us in Christ Jesus, is then manifested in the list of ingredients in God's divine recipe for good relationship with fellow believers. Namely, having compassion for one another, having brotherly love for each other, being tender-hearted and courteous toward each other. The loving way of being compassionate toward others involves having a keen interest in other people, not most concern for others' lives. What affects our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that affects us, whether it's triumphs or defeat. Their joys or their sorrows. In this vein of thought, we find the Apostle Paul writing in his letter to the Corinthians, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And he exhorts us in his letter to the Romans, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep." What affects our fellow believer affects us. We feel for them. We care for them. We want what's best for them. That is having a compassionate, loving heart. Another product of mutual Christian love is the ingredients of having brotherly love for each other. When speaking of the importance of blood relations, you've heard the saying, blood is thicker than water. Well, there's another family, kind of family that is a more important than blood relations, and that is the family of God. And why is that? Because we share the same faith, the same love, the same hope, eternal hope. And so in this very special family, we show each other brotherly love. If this is totally absent from our hearts, we don't know God. And the love of God is not working in our hearts. Whereas if we have brotherly love for one another, then we really know God. And his love is at work in our hearts. Still another ingredient in God's divine recipe for good relations is being tender-hearted toward one another. The thought behind this ingredient is having a tender spirit and merciful way toward others. When our brother or sister in the Lord is in distress, trouble, or pain, our heart feels for them. We reach out to them to see what we can do to help them. That's having a tender heart toward those who are having a problem in their life. Also, when our sinful brother or sister displays their imperfect ways in Christian love, we're patient with them, we bear with their weaknesses, and finally, we're forgiving toward them. Even as God is tender-hearted toward us in these ways, so also as children of God, we are tender-hearted toward all members of God's family. Finally, Christian love produces in us the good ingredient of being courteous toward each other. Out of love for our brothers and sisters, instead of turning our backs on them, separating ourselves from them, or speaking to or treating them in a rude, inconsiderate, and unfriendly way, we turn to them, we reach out to them, and speak to them in a courteous, loving way. That is, being friendly, considerate, and helpful. So all these ingredients which the Apostle Peter lists in our text are a part of God's divine recipe in having good relations with our fellow believers. All this not only blesses us with good relations, but it's also helpful in our carrying out our mission as a Christian church. What is it? What's our mission? What's our purpose in life? It's to reach out to others with the saving gospel of Christ. Now, if we're not getting along very well with each other, we're not living in harmony with each other, do you think that people in the community are going to be willing to listen to us about what we might have to say about our Christian hope? I don't think so. But if they see that here's a group of Christians who are in harmony with each other, loving each other, caring for each other, I think that there are going to be people to say, will want to listen to us. See what we have to say about Christ and his gift of forgiveness and salvation. So it's important for us to keep in mind God's ingredients for having a good relationship with one another. Compassionate, tender-hearted, showing brotherly love, as well as respond to sins against us by being patient, long-suffering, and forgiving. So then, God's divine recipe for good relationship not only blesses us with a good and beneficial life together, but it goes far in our carrying out our mission as a church to the community. As children of God in Christ Jesus, we're able to both love God and love one another. May God work this in all of us for the glory of God and for the benefit of one another and for the sake of reaching out to others with the gospel of Christ that saves. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. If anyone has an offering to give this morning, you can put it in the collection plate that's out on the table in the entryway. We continue this morning with our sermon hymn, hymn number 649, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Please rise for our prayer for the church. We offer up special prayers and intercessions for Ida Drews, who recently had knee replacement surgery and is presently undergoing rehabilitation, we pray. Heavenly Father, who hears and answers all our prayers for Jesus' sake, we humbly thank and praise you that you have heeded our prayers for Ida Drews. You have made her surgery successful and even now are granting her the gracious balm of healing. Daily improve her health and finally make her recovery complete. For Marianne Clock, who came down with COVID and pneumonia and is even now recovering from these health afflictions at her home, we pray. O Lord our God, we turn to you on behalf of Marianne Clock, asking for your comfort, strengthening and healing Marianne. Preserve her life and restore her to good health. Cause her to recognize that even at this time of sickness, you are nevertheless actively engaged in her life and are seeking through these things to draw her heart closer to you. For our country that will be celebrating Independence Day on July 4th, we pray. Eternal Father, ruler of all nations, as we look forward to our country's celebration of its birth, we thank you for all the spiritual and temporal blessings enjoyed in our land. In your mercy, you have sustained this nation in times of trouble and have preserved many of its liberties. Teach us anew to treasure especially that dearly won freedom of conscience and worship that is the cornerstone of this country's principles. Let us not misuse our liberties, nor forget that true freedom is freedom to serve. Give us willingness to share in the process of democratic rule, to respect our country's just and right laws, and to work for the preservation of its institutions. Forgive our past sins committed as a nation. Grant wisdom and integrity to our leaders. Above all, dear God, speed the course of your gospel among us, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, hearts are turned to that freedom from sin and death that you alone graciously give through our Savior Jesus Christ. And finally, we pray for our Christian fellowship. Dear Lord God, we thank and praise you for the Christian fellowship you have blessed us with when you brought us to faith in Christ Jesus and worked Christian love in our hearts. Most merciful God, we implore you to hide the shame of our transgressions from your sight. Clothe us in the garments of salvation purchased by the suffering and death of your Son on the cross, those robes of righteousness which have been washed clean in his blood. Help us set an example for others in our community by godly living, by brotherly harmony, by Christian charity, and by love for your word and for this house of worship. May our speech and our conduct ever mirror the imminence of the great and glorious day of Christ's coming. Keep our hearts and souls strong through your word and sacraments, so that the sound of the last trumpet will be a note of joy and gladness for us. In Jesus' name we pray all this, and in his name we also join the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Please be seated. We close our service this morning with hymn number 921, On What Has Now Been Sown, and let's please stand for the last verse. Please be seated. We welcome our visitors with us this morning and ask that if you would please sign our register in the entryway then on your visit. Good morning to everybody. As I mentioned at the start, this is a lay service because Pastor's on vacation. He and Jules were planning to return tomorrow afternoon, I believe it is. And this week, we'll give them some rest from their vacation. No meetings this week, so that'll be good for him. Next Sunday, normal Sunday service, Bible class at 9 a.m. And it's Communion Sunday, it'll be the first Sunday in July. Thank you to Pastor Gullerud for bringing us a sermon this morning and for Barb for a wonderful pre-service music. Thank you. Announcements in the bulletin about TV, the Traveling Vacation Bible School will be the last week of the month, July 22nd, 26th. Do we say anything? And then that Sunday afterwards will be the picnic this year. And that's it on the VBS. If you want to make a donation to it, you can mark your envelope or whatever they check that says for Traveling Vacation Bible School. So, any other announcements? If not, everyone, please have a blessed week then. Thank you.